Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the financial guys in for the great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And frigid starts of today. Obviously, a lot of traffic issues out there. We'll continue to bring those to you as time progresses here. We have a budget. We actually will talk about finance today. Usually, we're on every Saturday from 1 to 3. This is the show where money meets politics on Saturday. And we'll kind of do the same format here today. It'll be a little bit of money, a lot of money, really. And a little bit of politics, more in regards to the budget that they just passed, I guess, in the wee hours of this morning as we all slept. They were busy spending as much money as possible.
Oh, no, so. I was up all night, Glenn.
You were watching it the whole time.
The one thing, all morning I thought, please let those non-essential government workers get to work today.
Yeah.
I thought, what are we going to do if the non-essential people don't show up today? How will the world operate?
Armageddon. Well, when they shut it down a couple weeks ago, I mean, everything just ground to a halt.
Yes. Right?
I mean, we had...
Yeah. Planes weren't flying. Telephones weren't working.
That's right. Nothing. Cars couldn't go.
No.
I mean, we just, gas stations weren't pumping gas. Yeah. It was
Armageddon. Our office, we walked in that morning like, how do we use the key? How do you get in here?
Yeah.
Passcode? That
couldn't even function.
Nothing worked. Nothing worked.
Yeah, so thank goodness that they got that running again.
Thank God. Thank God. I was up all night. I thought, these non-essential workers, if they're not there, how will the world operate? How will we move forward?
Amazing. So we'll talk about that today. We'll talk about some wasteful spending. I mean, here's the thing, and this is what we're going to really get into. You know, the Republicans talk about, well, if we can get the economy growing again at 3 to 4%, then, it'd be way better than the 2% that Obama did, and that should get us out of, the debt, or at least get the deficit down to zero, get to a balanced budget or a surplus, and then I'd usually take that surplus and then start paying down the national debt, which is now $20-plus trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the problem. If you grow the economy at 4%, but you increase spending by 10% every year, right? That math doesn't work, guys.
No.
I don't know how you...
No.
These
are the same Republicans, by the way. I sound like a broken record, but every single time they run, they ask for our money, right? Mm-hmm. They tell us how they're going to come up with pro-growth strategies, and they tell us they're going to cut the waste in government and start to fix the budget problems, and they never do. Never. It's
never
like, hey, my government spending is better than your government spending.
That's right.
These Republicans are so darn useless, it's not even funny. They finally get a tax cut through. You're like, okay, well, all right, we got some good stuff here. I wasn't, overly thrilled with I thought the corporate tax cuts were great. I thought the individual tax cuts and some of the changes were not nearly aggressive enough, and they didn't change the capital gains tax. Okay, but look it, we'll take something. Something's better than nothing. That's a win. And they come right back with this budget. And what's amazing to me is I thought they won the government shutdown a few weeks ago. I thought, okay, look it, we won. All right, nobody, the world didn't stop. Everything's good. Shut the darn thing down again and start to fix the problems in government and the massive amounts of abuse and waste and everything else. Not a penny.
Couldn't do it.
The
government is the federal government is the only entity that seems to spend the exact same amount of money whether they're open or they're closed. It doesn't seem to make any difference,
right?
So we'll talk about that today.
Can you imagine running a business like that? We're closing the pizzeria Monday, but we're going to keep all the ovens on.
Right.
Well, and by the way, we'll just
keep paying the employees while they're not there.
We're not going to pay you Monday, but when you do come back, we'll make sure you get paid for Monday, even though you weren't there.
That's right. It's craziness. All right. We'll also talk about the markets today. We'll certainly take your calls and questions on that at 803-0930 and star 930. Biggest point drop yesterday, over 1,000 points. I mean, we opened up. We were up about 200 points yesterday, and then the markets just rolled over. And especially in the last hour, we went from about 500 points down in the Dow to 1,000 points down on the Dow. Looks like we're going to get a little bit of a bounce this morning. We'll see if it holds.
See if it's a dead cat bounce, right? I bet we've been saying for a long time, we've got to watch Dow 24,000 or in that area. That doesn't mean that 23.99, but there has been some support in where we are now. We'll see if we can stick.
It's thin support, though, so we'll see. If it sticks, then great. If it doesn't, then it looks like we're going to probably be heading down to the 22.5 mark. And there is some more solid support there, and we'll put that in perspective for everybody. We've gone from 23,000 to 26,000 on the Dow in about, 3,000-point run in just as many months. We had one period of 5 days where the Dow went from 25 to 26,000. So a little bit of retracement is, I think, a little bit normal. And we'll have John Thurr in studio with us. He's a chartered financial analyst. You heard him on our show on Saturdays. chartered financial analyst just means that he's the smartest guy in our office, pretty much. So we'll bring him in. He basically spends all day, every day, looking at stocks, looking at the market, analyzing things. He's obviously on our investment committee, one of our key important players at the firm, and he'll give us his insight as to kind of what he sees and his take on the markets and what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Glenn, I know we're going to talk more about the markets, and let me just talk a few things. I got a whole list here of some government waste. So when I see these Republicans pass a bill last night with excessive abuse in spending once again, we spent $765,000 last year for pancakes. That was in the federal funding. Went to an economic development corp to build an international house of pancake franchise.
Yeah. Nice. Perfect.
Yeah. Nowhere to cut, though.
Now, the interesting thing, Mike, is you go back to 2007, right, and we had a federal budget of $3 trillion. Mm-hmm. By the end of 2008, with the stimulus spending and the TARP, we had spent $4 trillion. Now, Obama took that over in 2009 and said, great, let's continue with it. Let's take that same trillion dollars, and we'll put it in something called the stimulus package. They have not looked back since. We literally took a jump from $3 trillion to $4 trillion. And now these clowns can't do with a penny less.
Right.
They cannot do with a nickel less. Yeah.
And
you would think with that extra trillion, they'd be able to keep it hold steady for like the next decade.
Yeah, decade, right. And let us not forget, folks, this is not the Democratic Party that's in charge. It's the Republicans, right?
That's right.
They're in the driver's seat. So next time these Republicans ask you for money and ask you to donate, send them a little note back that says, when you can actually control the budget, when you do what you tell me, you do what you promised me you were going to do, I'll contribute some money and I'll vote for you. Up until then, I'd let them hang on the vine.
I mean, I'll tell you this. You know, the Republicans are likely, if they pass, this is bad enough, if they pass some sort of a amnesty for DACA, then the Republicans will lose the House. I don't see any way they possibly don't lose the House.
They'll lose the House by people just not showing up to vote.
That's right.
They're not going to vote for the Democrats. They're just going to be so disgusted.
No, they'll just stay home.
Yeah.
They'll just stay home. But the thing is, what will happen is they'll blame it on Trump. That'll be the thing. Trump's approval ratings, by the way, are higher than Obama's were at this point in time, right?
Yeah.
So his approval rating is fast approaching 50%. So you can't say it's his fault, but they will blame it on him as opposed to looking in the mirror is what they should.
Yep.
It's really sad, but it's frustrating to me as a conservative, the fiscal conservative, that we just can't seem to get our arms around this. And hats off to Rand Paul for at least taking a stand.
Yes.
He seems to be the only one that's a fiscal conservative.
Literally the only one.
Literally the only one.
Sometimes you'd say, well, you know, because he's out. But I don't see anybody else with the stones to step out and say, this is absolutely ridiculous. And I think he's right, by the way, partially.
Absolutely.
When you look at the stock market, meaning I think he's right by saying, hey, the market is a little bit worried about this debt. I mean, it is the one thing that's out there. When you look at, okay, we've got better economic numbers at home. We got a growing economy. We're growing in excess of 3%. But we are adding jobs in the service sector and other places, right? We're bringing money back. You know, companies like Apple have said they're going to bring $250 billion dollars back. Well, they're going to create 20,000 jobs. All good. What's the negative? What's the thing that's hanging over our heads right now? And I'll tell you what it is. It's debt. And these clowns had an awesome chance yesterday to say, we're going to take a strong stance here. If we need to shut the government down temporarily, the last 30 times we did it, nobody missed a beat. The non-essential workers stay home for a little bit, and we get our arms around the...
If you're a business, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but if you have non-essential employees, usually you let them go, permanently, right?
Well, that's in the real world, Glenn. That's not...
I mean, non-essential, what does that mean? Like, we could use you, but we really don't need you.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing there, I don't get that.
Well, some of them have been on the books for 20 years, and we don't know what they do, but as Nancy Pelosi said it best, right? Unemployment is our best stimulus in the economy. The next greatest thing is to have somebody who's totally useless just sitting there getting paid. Yeah, and then if you don't believe that, ask California, because that's what their next deal is to say, how do we help the poor people? We just give them money. Wait, we've already done that. It's called welfare. It's been a miserable failure.
Well, now they've done it even better. They've gone to, in one town, I think it's Stockton, they've gone to a just a flat-out stipend, like a 500 hours a month.
Minimum.
That'll go. That's a minimum just actually giving you cash. I'm sure those that'll definitely motivate people to go get a job. Yep. No question about it, right?
It's the only place in the whole world where people can log on to their $800 iPhone and check their food stamps.
That's right. Amazing, right? All right, 803-0930, *930 is a free call to sell, 1-800-616-9236. We'll try to take as many phone calls as possible. We were in on earlier in the week. We talked a lot, which we love doing, of course, and we took some calls. But today I'll try to take as many calls as possible because obviously we know that people are concerned. When you get a 1,000-point drop in the market, on a percentage basis, not the biggest, on a point basis, looks really, really scary.
Yeah. Well, so it's not a bear market yet. It's a correction. And I keep it, we're in a bear market. We're not in a bear market yet. You know, bear market's typically 20%-ish or so on the Dow. We're in a correction phase. Do we get into a bear market? I don't know. I will say this, and I'm so sick and tired of hearing people tell me, oh, the market's going to bottom. When is the market going to bottom? I don't know. Nobody knows that. And if anybody tells you they do, they're lying. You have to set up a portfolio where you're making subtle adjustments along the way. I do know this. Bear markets tend to be harsh, but they tend to last they're not as long as the bull markets, right? So the bull markets are good. They phase up. Everybody feels happy, and they last 12, 13, 14 months, 2 years, 3 years. We go through these bear markets on average maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 months sometimes. You know, maybe it's a year, but oftentimes the second half of that is the recovery phase, so you feel better. So you have to make subtle adjustments along the way. Don't be weak during these bull markets. Be strong.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a very quick break if you want to join us again. 803-0930, *930 is a free call and a sell. If you want to text us, by the way, it's 3930. We'll read your text as well. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas, in for the great Sandy Beach. We'll be right back here on News Radio 930 WBEN. You've got the Financial Guys, Glenn Wiggle, and Mike Lomas, in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Obviously, a tough day in the markets yesterday. Tough day in the markets the last 2 weeks, really. We've had a pretty good sell-off, down about 10% now, so we are officially in correction territory. We'll talk about that and take your calls and questions on the market. We're also talking about government waste as well. They finally passed a budget this morning, and if you didn't know better, if you just landed on the planet, you would think that the Democrats are back in charge based on the size of the budget that would just pass. Clearly, right?
They are. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Democrat and Democrat light is what's in Washington right now.
And Rand Paul.
Yes.
You got those three classifications. Yeah. So remember just 3 years ago in 2013 when Paul Ryan came out with his budget, right? Paul Ryan came out and said, this is our fiscal conservative. What happened to him?
I know.
What happened to him?
Once they got in charge, it's like they just fell apart. Like, I'm telling you, when they run, they're conservatives. When they need your money and they need your vote, they're conservative. The minute they get your vote, it's my big government's better than your big government. What a waste. What a wasted opportunity this was. You know, and I think Trump said it best a few weeks ago. He's like, look, I'm ready for a good old government shutdown. We need it. Shut the government down. By the way, don't back pay these people. That's the worst thing you could do. I'm not trying to sound mean, and it's not that I don't want them to get paid, but look, you're a non-essential government worker. First of all, if you're a non-essential government worker, you shouldn't have a job, but that's a whole different radio show. Second of all, if you're non-essential and you're not even showing up to work, we don't pay you. That's part of the negotiation, right? Let's start to, you know, and don't tell me you can't find places to cut. I'm so sick of, it's only $500,000. Well, it's only my $500,000 because I'm writing a check this week to pay my quarterly estimates for my taxes. It's mine. It's yours. It's the teacher. It's the firefighter. It's the plumber. It's the electrician, right? It's everybody's money that's being wasted. Here's another one, Glenn. You'll like this one. $120 million in retirement and disability benefits to federal employees.
Good.
Who have died.
Yes, perfect.
The Inspector General for the U.S. Office of Personal Management found that the amount of post-death improper payments is consistently $100 million to $150 million annually.
Let's start there. There's
$150 million. Could you imagine? There's $150 million just laying in the parking lot. Forget about it.
Don't worry about it. It's amazing. So we'll roll through some of these. I've got some of the craziest 2017 spending, a trolley renovation for San Francisco or San Diego, because, you know, really, we should be giving more money to California.
Yes.
$1.04 billion they awarded. $1 billion, right?
Oh, with a B.
Now,
oh, that one's with a B.
But here's the thing. They only expanded the trolley by 11 miles. 11 miles. $100 million per mile.
$100 million per mile.
Are these tracks of gold? I mean, even if they were.
Like, you
I mean,
know,
seriously.
But you know, all kinds of business was created in that 11-mile stretch there, right? That's the thing.
This is as bad as the, you know, what is it, back in the 30s, you know, hiring one guy to dig the hole and hiring the other guy to fill it back in. I mean, that's the kind of stimulus and kind of the spending that the government's doing. It's really ridiculous. Yeah. It really
but,
is.
By the way, our text number 3930, we did get a text. I have no clue what it means. GM Financial Guys, Dave. All right.
Good morning, Financial Guys. See, we're not up on the lingo.
We're not up on the lingo.
You can't, if you're putting in like those acronyms or the.
My 10-year-old would know that.
It's sad. Like, the older I get, the more I find myself Googling these things.
Yeah.
Like, what does that mean?
Well, let me tell you, Dave, Dave meant to send more. If you scroll up, he said, I meant to send more. I've been thinking about buying some stock in Pepsi, then forgetting about it for 20 years. Is that wise?
Well, look at
forgetting about it is. Sure. No, I'm just
20 years ago would have been a great time to buy Pepsi. You know what? Actually, that is a better question than probably we're having a little fun with it. But the fact of the matter is, if you bought Pepsi 20 years ago, you're probably pretty happy with your investment. But there was pullbacks, I assure you, over the last 20 years, like what we're going through. And you have to not put your head in the sand during these times, right? And please do not make panic decisions. Try to get the noise out of your head. Get all the don't watch the TV and the panic. I'm hearing words like crash now and panic and plummet.
They love the sensationalized.
And come on. I mean, look it. We've been through this before. And I can tell you that nobody knows when it's going to end and when we're going to find a bottom. But we will find a bottom, right? Fundamentally, the country is strong. Outside of the Republicans spending like drunken sailors, the housing market is probably stronger than it's ever been. If you look at the markets that got beat up during the last financial crisis, I would argue that they're probably some of the strongest markets out there. Yeah. People moved in from all over the world and bought these properties in Nevada, in Arizona, and Florida with cash. You know, you went from a highly leveraged market where people were just saying, you take the home, to now a cash-rich market and probably under-leveraged, to be honest with you. Some of these homes that got purchased at $100,000 are now $250,000, and the homeowner, even with a mortgage, only owes $50,000. So, so the market itself, the real estate market is strong. Earnings are strong. You know, this
balance sheets are strong.
Corporate balance sheets are strong. We'll talk more about it.
You got the right idea. Buy good quality companies and forget about them for 20 years. That is the way to build wealth for sure. So great text question.
I do know LOL, by the way. I know that one.
LOL. We know that one. All right. 803-0930, *930 is a free call to sell. When we come back on the other side of the break, the markets are about to open. Looks like they're going to open higher. You've got the financial guys in for the great Sandy Beach here, News Radio 930 WBEN. Alrighty, welcome back. You've got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we will take your calls and questions here on the market, on the federal budget, on the mini shutdown that we just had, the whopping hour that it lasted or whatever it was. 803-0930 is the number to call, 803-0930. *930 is a free call and a sell, and 1-800-616-9236. By the way, folks, we do manage money for a living, obviously, Monday through Friday. We've done a show here on Saturdays from 1 to 3 for almost 20 years, for those that may live under a rock, perhaps. But you can always call us throughout the week at the office if you need us, if you're concerned about this market, or you just want to just chat and know what's going on. Feel free to use us as a resource. Call us at the office, 633-1515. Again, 633-1515.
Hey, Glenn, before we go back to the phones here, we'll get some text message, 3930 if you want to text us. And, you know, again, I can't stress enough, folks, take a step back during these times. Don't watch the news every second of the day. You know, you cannot make panic decisions when it comes to investing. And I'm a huge believer that you can't time this stuff. You need to set up a portfolio, and that's what we do in our office, where we make subtle adjustments along the way. Baby steps along the way to be able to take advantage of the volatility. On the other side, too, look, we had 15 months of the S&P 500 going up 15 months in a row, every month a positive return, sometimes 1%, 0.5%, 2%. Rebalance those portfolios. Now's the time to bring that rebalancing out, the profits you've set aside, and use it to rebalance the opposite way. So, you know, make baby steps. Don't make panic decisions. They never work. A few of the texts that have come in. WBN, our financial guys, WBN staff, morning, y'all. Hey, thanks, Neil from Appleton. Good morning. Can you guys talk a little bit about bond funds? And of course, sure. You know, it's funny because that same text 2 months ago would have been, can you talk about stock funds?
That's right.
You know, should bond funds look at when you're setting up an overall asset allocation in a 401k plan and your investment plan, you should have some bonds in the portfolio. I can tell you this. And I was talking to Mike Zimmer the other day, one of the traders in our office, and the market had a bad day. It was down 1,000 points. He said, hey, look, some of our bond managers, look at these folks. They're up, right? They have oftentimes an inverse relationship to the stock market. Great opportunity for us to take a little profits and rebalance. So, but look, don't start selling stocks and buying bonds right now unless you know a plan, unless you have a proactive plan in place and you've done the homework beforehand, because that's how people get burned. That's how they get hurt. Yep. And those are the same people 4 months from now that say, oh, I always do the worst thing. It's because you don't have a plan.
That's right. And there's different types of risk, right? So it's not just about stock market risk. There's interest rate risk, too, which eventually is going to have an inverse relationship on bond funds and bonds in general, because as rates rise, the value of those bond funds tends to go down. So as rates are now rising, be very careful. It's going to put some of these bond funds under a lot of pressure. So as Mike said, have a plan, have a balanced portfolio. Don't chase markets. Don't make panic decisions. By the way, the market just opened up about 250 points, giving some of that back now. So the Dow is now fading, down up only 140. So we'll continue to bring you the numbers as they unfold here, but hopefully we'll have at least a little bit of a rebound and close out the day going into the weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Yep.
If you want to join us here again, 803-0930 and *930 is a free call on the cell. What do you want to do, Mike? Want to go back to the phones?
Yeah, and just so everybody knows, Joe Beamer, you woke up. That was great.
Nice. I was not sleeping.
Well, you were dozing.
I did call engineering to see if they had a pillow.
From 5 to 9, I run the 5 to 9 show, and then from 9 to 12.
Oh boy, here's the ooze me.
I put the podcast up, and I answer the phones. But yes, I like to put one foot up there and lean back and enjoy the show, enjoy the entertainment that's going on.
So you just close the one eye at a time, then, or how's that working?
Joe is what we would call a non-essential employee.
When I can't do something you ask me to do, then you can say something.
All right. You take your time. You relax. I don't want you stressed out. Look at Tony Caligiuri. He comes in. He's got a broken arm. So what'd you get in a bar fight, Tony, or what happened? Somebody get out of line?
Tendons.
What's that?
Rupture tendons in my arms.
You don't tell me that. That sounds like you're getting old like me. You got to say, like, look at.
It was four guys.
They were trying to steal a purse from a little old lady. There's nothing else I could do. You should see what they look like.
No, it was my 5-year-old daughter roughed me up. I didn't get her the baby alive doll she wanted.
We were talking during the break. I said, you got to say, like, you took somebody down. You beat somebody up. He said, I got taken out by my garage door.
Yeah, my garage door won. I lost big time.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go back to the
recovery
phone.
All right, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Pete in Ontario. Hi, Pete. How are you?
Hey, guys. You know what? I 100% agree with you. You grind your teeth on this budget, but I'll tell you what. Think of this. 2 years, we don't have to deal with it. That's one thing. Second of all, it looks like once the Inspector General's report comes out, we're going to start seeing the other side slowly getting indicted. It's going to shift public opinion our way, which is great. If they don't, the rule of law never stands to the U.S. again, so they will. And finally, we cannot lose the Congress. We just can't have the purse being controlled.
I don't know if it matters anymore, does it? We had a great opportunity last night to shut the government down and say enough is enough, right? We're going to start to control spending, and they did nothing. They just continue to roll over. What does it matter? Democrat, Republican, what's the difference?
But we have a chance. I get it. But imagine this. We all of a sudden pick up, there's 12 seats in the Senate that we could grab because they're strongholds of Donald during the election. Okay? So we keep Congress. We have no more. We've got a supermajority. Then we can really get stuff done. You're absolutely right, guys. Never in my life did I ever think that I'd finally say, you know, 75% of the Republicans are exactly like the Democrats. When they see that we really have supermajority, we have everything going, Trump's agenda is going wonderful, the country's going in gangbusters, they will be forced to come in line.
Pete, I love you, brother, but we've been saying that same story forever. If we only had the Senate.
The optimist.
If we only had the House.
If we only had a supermajority.
Yes, that's right. If we only had the president. And they just, I'll tell you what, I'm this tax cut, I like a lot of stuff. I would rate it maybe like a B+, which is better than I rated any other government thing that they've done. But I got to tell you, man, they got to get their fiscal house in order when it comes to spending. I mean, and it's, the waste out there is beyond, it's out of control. I mean, when you set a budget based on a one-time stimulus and it never goes away, ridiculous. And then, again, these Republicans run on the platform of, I need your money, we're going to stop this, we're going to stop this. And the second they have the chance to do it, they don't. What a waste.
Right. Guys, there's no doubt. People listen to you, though, and I get it. I'm your biggest fan. So I got a Republican named Joey sitting at only 45. So you know what? Those guys are right. I ain't going out to vote.
Good.
Sammy across the road, the Uber Democrat goes, yay, baby, let's go vote. So we end up with a Democrat Congress. God, you got it.
Well, maybe that'll finally get these Republicans to get off their behinds and say, wait a minute, maybe I actually need to do what I told them I was going to do, which is to stop spending.
Right. Look, 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, we had the Paul Ryan budget. We had a fiscal conservative plan. We were putting forth ideas that were going to lower the size of government, lower the federal spending, lower the overall bureaucracy. And yet, that seems like 50 years ago now, right? I mean, now it's like, how much can we spend? I don't hear anything about cutting the budget out of Paul Ryan. I don't hear anything about our local delegation either. I certainly wouldn't expect it from folks like Higgins, but I would hope that Chris Collins would come out and say and be standing right next to a Rand Paul in his house versus the Senate. But they don't. They just go right along with it. More spending, more spending. Oh, Obama wants to spend more, wants a bigger budget. No problem. You know, write the check. Here we go. And we've done that year after year after year. Here's the problem, is that now we're going into a period of rising interest rates, clearly, right? The 10-year Treasury is now approaching 3%. It's probably going to go to 4% over time. That's a more normalized scenario. When that happens, however, that $20 trillion that we've racked up in the last 10 years, or, you know, 12 of it added in the last 10 years, is going to suddenly become a much bigger payment just to keep up with the debt service that we have to deal with. So, you know, that's a very dangerous scenario for us. And, you know, I get the side of saying, listen, if we can grow our way out of this, we can grow at 4 to 4.5% on economically, yeah, a GDP growth, economic growth. If we can do that, we can grow our way out of the debt and the deficit. But the problem is you can't do that if we're going to increase the budget by 10% every year.
Right.
So if we grow by 4, but you spend 10% more, that math just doesn't work. Yeah. That means we continue to run deficits, we continue to add to the national debt, and then what's going to happen is when those interest rates continue to rise and we have to continue to make the interest payments, those interest payments are going to take up a bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger part of our budget. And at the same time, 10 years from now, you're going to be looking at a huge shortfall in Social Security.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Right? So you have these huge unfunded mandates in Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security that are coming home to roost within a decade now. We're not talking 40 years from now like we were 30 years ago. We're talking 2030. That's 12 years from now when there's going to be a shortfall. So this is setting up for a pretty bad recipe if we don't get our arms around this right now. And these clowns in Congress just said, kick it down the road 2 years. We're good. Spend $400 billion more, no problem, without a single place to cut. And when we talked to him about cutting, we talked about things like Obamaphone, right? Can we cut up? Oh, that's in legislation. We can't do anything about
that. We can't do
that. You're a legislator. You're right. Legislators.
Right. The excuse is always, well, we're not in control of 75% of it. Well, get in control of it. How about that?
Get in control of it.
Shut the government down and don't open it up until you are in control of it, right?
Right.
Hey, Pete,
it's crazy.
I love your optimism, buddy. But I think we got to put more pressure on these Republicans to get a backbone.
For sure.
Find it. You lost
it.
It's gone.
Sure. All right,
thanks,
we're going to take a very short break. We'll come back with more of your calls and questions. 803-0930, *930 is a free call and a cell. 1-800-616-9236. You've got the financial guys, Mike Lomas and Glenn Wiggle, in for Sandy Beach. We'll be right back here, News Radio 930 WBEN. You've got the financial guys, Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas, filling in for the great Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930 WBEN. And we are taking your calls and questions regarding the market, regarding the budget. We're talking a little bit about wasteful spending here. And certainly we will talk about some of the the causes of the market fluctuations here. We're going to have John Thur, chartered financial analyst in our office, one of the folks on our investment team that all he does day in and day out is reviews stocks and bonds and the markets and the economies and does the research for us and helps out on the investment committee. So we'll be touching base with him in the next hour. And, of course, we'll take your calls and questions here, 803-0930 and *930. You can also text us at 30930, and we'll read more of those texts here shortly as well.
Yeah, can we let's read a few of them. We've actually touched a nerve with some government employees. It says, as a non-essential federal employee, I feel it necessary to set the record straight in the terms essential versus non-essential. Essential means that an employee services are required in the short term. If a customs inspector were to stay at home during a shutdown, it would be necessary to immediately close the U.S. border. In contrast, a government attorney can protect the U.S. economy's interest in trade court today, next week, or next month. It is important work that is put on hold in the event of a shutdown. I encourage you to basically do your research, is what he's calling us out on. Which, look,
so here's a funny thing. The last time we had a government shutdown a few years ago, right? Remember they had all these signs at the customs, at the border.
It was going to take an excessive amount of time to get through. Yeah,
was that just a lie then?
Yeah, no. Actually, we got through quicker than we ever did. Quicker than we ever did, and we fly international at least once a year, maybe twice a year for business. That was the first time I think we really, really just made it through without a hitch.
Beamer's, I remember coming back from the Dominican, right? We had to go through customs, and there was all these signs up. It's going to take longer because of the government shutdown, blah, 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 and sailed right through.
Yeah.
Sailed right through. They only had a couple lanes open, but yet we still sailed right through. So
this person, so essential to the federal government, had time to send 5 text messages.
That's right. Exactly. Well, I guess they didn't get the memo that it was reopened this morning.
Yeah.
Maybe
that's
they're still at home.
Tuning in.
Beamer.
Tuning in to WBN.
That's right.
This guy is
for the taxpayers each and every minute of the day.
What's funny? It is. You know what's so funny? You just said that because here's what I get all the time. Right? Did you hear what Beach said today? Did you hear what Bowerly said today? And I'll say, or Bellavia, and I'll say, look at no. I really did. I'm working all day. I'd love to hear it, but I'm working all day. That is spot on, Mr. Beamer. Spot on.
Look,
just when I think you were asleep at the wheel, and just when I called engineering to get you a pillow, you come up with that. That's
look
right.
At that.
That's
amazing.
Right. This attorney was so darn busy today. He's tuning in and sent me a 30-page text. Love
That's
it.
Right. Exactly. It's classic.
You can't make it up.
It's like the same people on Twitter. I'll get in these Twitter battles in the morning before I actually start work, and then I'll turn it off and I'll start working. And then
where are you?
Over lunch, like all I hear is crickets. No response. That I'm like, I'm working. I actually see at 8 o'clock. I put the phone down and I actually go into appointments and meetings and actually try to get a productive day in. But you just keep tweeting from your mom's basement.
That's right.
Mom will bring lunch down for you.
That's
Don't worry about it.
The meatloaf is ready. That's when the break is done.
She's
right?
Making you a PBJ in the kitchen right now. It'll be ready for noon. You know, your nap time right after that. Don't worry. We got this.
Yeah,
okay?
That's right.
Those of us going to work each and every day will continue to pay our taxes so that you can text us at 10 o'clock in the morning and tell us how essential you are. So appreciate that.
Yeah. And by the way, we understand. Look, we're having a little fun with this, but there are folks that, you're a non-essential, but you work hard. I get it. I got friends that work for the government. We understand that. But I think many of those folks would be on the same page with us in saying your departments are not run right. Right, there's a ton of waste, and at some point, I get a text here. Let's hear it for the mailman. We're essential. I get it, right? But I can tell you that there's all kinds of inefficiencies in the mail back office, including upper management, which most of them are a total waste. And you don't need to text me and say I'm right. I know I'm right. Right.
We have a lot of mailmen and women as clients that are retired now, and so we have a lot of respect. But here's the deal, right? Somehow FedEx and UPS do it for a profit, and somehow the post office does it at a tremendous loss of billions of dollars every year. So how does that work? How can somebody deliver packages overnight to China and make a profit, but somehow the post office cannot, and they literally run multi-billion-dollar deficits on a year-in and year-out basis?
And it's time to say, okay, let's figure a little bit of that out, right? We're $20 trillion in the hole. Let's figure some of that out.
Well, don't count on the Republicans do that, because they have no interest mention that whatsoever. There's not a single penny, apparently, they can cut. And look, I'm not – we increase spending on the military. Absolutely essential, right? One of the few spots that's actually discretionary. All this non-discretionary stuff, a lot of it was put in place, is like welfare and things like that, which President Trump has promised that that was going to be high in his agenda. Apparently, the Republicans in Congress didn't get the memo.
Yeah.
And I guess he forgot what he said because he certainly signed the
bill. He signed the bill last
night. Let's hope we circle
that's
back
right.
around.
Yes.
Hope we'll circle back around to that. We'll see what happens.
Circling back around never works. Usually somebody gets tripped along the way. All right, we'll be back.
We'll see. All right, 803-0930, another 2 hours ago here. You got the Financial Guys in for Sandy Beach here on News Radio 930. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.